Hello and welcome to our CMD Bite Size series, where we explore a range of ministry and theological issues. I'm Rebecca Evans, Ministry and Parish Development Officer for Truro Diocese, and in this episode I'll be talking to the Reverend Mark James. Mark is an associate priest in the Bude Coast and Country Benefice. However, he also works as a data governance consultant for a leading provider of cybersecurity and data protection solutions in the UK, Europe, and the USA. Today, we're going to be talking about the use of artificial intelligence, or AI, in ministry. So, good morning, Mark, and thank you for joining me on a very rainy Monday morning. Do you want to begin by telling us a bit about yourself, what you like doing in your spare time, that sort of thing?
Yes, good morning. I think my passion outside of work and ministry is photography. I've been since lockdown passionate about landscape photography in particular, and that's a thing that any spare time I have, that's where I tend to be out with my camera doing something around that stuff. So the AI stuff, it's my kind of my day job, but photography is definitely my passion.
Brilliant. And I guess living in just outside of Bude, you're in the right place for some excellent landscape photography.
Yes, yeah. Yes, it's fair to, I mean, it's fair to say that, and it helps having a drone, of course, because you can go out and photograph the beautiful place like Bude from the sea looking back, and I've loved it. Yeah, it's been a really good thing for my mental well-being and stuff like that, just to be able to get out the camera and fresh air and plenty of wind at the moment, and as you say, plenty of rain.
Yeah, very creative as well, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So, okay, brilliant. So, thinking a bit more about AI then, what sparked your interest in exploring the kind of benefits and perils of AI for leaders in religious ministry?
I think first and foremost, as part of my day job, one of the things I do as part of that role is I advise clients on all kinds of technologies, and AI is just one area of that. I've written white papers that I've had published as part of that, and I run a number of kind of think tank groups around it from a commercial point of view. And of course, being an associate priest, inevitably that thinking creeps into the work in ministry, and it's thinking through, okay, is there other opportunities for the use of AI, and what are the perils and pitfalls, and what governance should we look to put in place to try and offer guidance really to those that where there are some obvious advantages of it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure it's one of those things where actually, whenever you're doing two different roles, you sort of think about how it translates in the other, and that's a really creative place to be in, and to think about that diversity.
The Sunday Times did an article when GDPR first launched. They were interested in the kind of lines between ministry and GDPR, and the article they wrote was preaching data protection to the unconverted. There's always an overlap, and it's just understanding how those things can be applied. But AI, I guess, being a bit of a geek, bit of a techie, AI is one of those areas that does particularly interest me as well from that perspective.
Sure. Okay. So do you have any specific examples of how AI could or perhaps is already being utilized in religious ministry, and something about the impact or potential impact of this?
Yeah, I mean, and I suppose this is one of the things where a discussion forum that we're looking to have in May will be really useful to kind of tease out some of the ideas. It's probably fair to say that most of us, to some extent, if we're doing any kind of preparation for a service, if we're using Google, for example, we're using degrees of AI today. And I think with the work I've done and having chatted to other ministers, one of the things they are is time poor. They have quite a lot of things to do. So are there opportunities where we can reduce or we can improve admin tasks that just make us slightly more efficient? And it could be simple things like using AI to help do more research for sermons. Typically, and I'd use tools to do research for any sermons. Where does AI fit into that? Things like putting together training programs, so using those kind of technologies to help it. Examples of where people have used AI to complete grant applications that have been successful. I think there's a huge area where that could be applied. And also to help with themes. If you've got a particular service you're looking to run and you just need some support in terms of thinking through ideas and themes, then AI technologies can be very useful for things like that.
Okay, so I think the time-saving one and the improving admin is probably a clear win for lots of people. I can't think of anyone I know that isn't struggling with things like that. But I guess I wonder whether there's a loss of creativity in using AI.
There's definitely a risk, I think, if I suppose the risk is where you become over dependent. And in most cases where I've seen it used within organizations, they don't ever really rely on it completely. They use it as an aid, really, to help them think through ideas. It might be just to kind of get broad brush, a layout, it's almost a schematic of what they're looking to do. But actually, it's them that input the detail and the kind of minutiae. And that might include things like a slide deck. You know, they may not be one of their giftings to put a slide deck together, but I've seen where AI can produce really good, effective slide decks that include images that are AI generated, but they're completely fitting with the theme that they have created. So you can see where those two things can mix, but it's working out the risks of when we're using these technologies, where are the lines really from a point of view of using them, really. I think that's where the biggest challenge is.
Yeah, and I think the example that you give of a grant application is a really key one, actually, because often people that are completing grant applications, certainly in church settings, that might not be their day job. It might just be something they're doing as a volunteer, and they may be doing it a little bit out of their depth and not really understand what it is they're doing, and need some guidance along that. So I guess there's a level of actually, how do we use AI to support them to get to the broad brush bit that you say, but enable them also to add that detail?
Yeah, I mean, taking the grant application, from the ones I've been involved in before, they take time to complete. And as you say, if it's not your kind of first gifting, then actually AI could be really helpful in those examples of where it's helping you answer questions ethically, correctly, but just helping you with the wording.
Yeah, and do you think there's a risk there of people perhaps putting in things that don't suit because they don't know the subject so well? How would people go about checking that?
Well, yeah, it's a good point. I suppose there needs to be a level of understanding of the grant they're applying for, and an understanding of the question, and make sure that the answer is balanced against the reality of where they are and the question being asked. I mean, ultimately, it needs to be correct in terms of what you're writing. But what I've seen where it's been used is actually the answers are correct. They're just very articulate in terms of how they've answered the question, because sure, that's just not their natural gifting.
Yeah. Okay. That's great. That's really helpful. So what ethical considerations then should leaders in religious ministry take into account when they're utilising AI in their work?
Yeah, I think the biggest one for me is about trust and about transparency. Ultimately, to the nth degree, if you were to build an entire service into sessions, your sermon verbatim using AI, then that's a problem. And I think those are the kinds of risks where we become overly dependent. I think having clear guidelines will help. But I think from an ethical point of view, there are concerns around data protection, which is my day job. So when we're writing scripts for AI, how much personal information are we including in those scripts? Where's the line of accountability? So, we're holding AI systems accountable. How do we know the information that the AI is producing is correct? Because we know at the moment they're not immune to error. So that's a challenge. The risk around job displacement may be less of an issue for the church, but it needs to be considered. Security risks, the whole issue of aligning AI use with church teachings, and that whole moral and theological debate. All of those lines are very murky, I think.
Yeah, and I guess, I mean, you just said that the AI is not immune to the being inconsistencies or inaccuracies within it, but I guess slightly bigger than that, how do we make sure that people are getting a balanced view? Because you might get an accurate view that's one-sided from using AI. How do we make sure that we're checking that actually we've thought around the other issue, the other sort of sides of that view?
I suppose in some sense, this is where the human comes into play, isn't it? That AI is producing text, but ultimately it's down to the compiler to discern and validate what's being produced and understanding the sensitivity of it, whether it fits, you know, all of those nuances that AI just really can't do right now. I think that's where the kind of human aspect comes into it. I would be deeply concerned if anybody used it verbatim, but in terms of using it as an aid to produce materials that they feel fit for the context they're in, I think that's the kind of starting point, really.
Yeah, that sounds very usable as well, doesn't it? Beginning to use it as a way of exploring, almost as a kind of encyclopedia, if you like, of different way of looking at information.
Yeah, and it could be for things like you know, you've been asked to do a particular kind of intercession, but you're not quite sure how to approach it. So you may use AI to give you some prompts, some outlines, some themes for you then to craft your own prayers and stuff like that. So I think that's where it will have some merit.
And how do you think that we should think about drawing those boundaries? How do you think people should consider where those lines are? Because I can see that people might start with that, but then actually gradually it creeps in a bit more and a bit more and you become a bit more reliant on it. But we need to be intentional at the outset, I guess, about how we balance that.
Yeah, certainly in my day job, it's very much an advisory role, and that kind of question you just ask, and that's the kind of question that needs almost a forum discussion that we're looking to host in May. But certainly at some point, there's going to need to be some kind of governance. We're seeing this already in organisations where they're putting frameworks in place that start to give boundaries around the do's and don'ts around using it, the risks, the pitfalls, and the kind of the workflow, if you like, to understand, well, how do we investigate using it in our context for things like rotors, you know, things that even simple things like a rotor where people struggle to do them accurately, where actually AI can lend it because those tools are out there to do it sometimes quickly and more efficiently, and those kinds of things, managing your social media potentially if you're looking at how you might communicate. But those kinds of things, I think, are going to be really where they'll start to come into it. But it needs a discussion. It needs to be understood, and also the context you're in. Understand the context of where you are. You know, it may be that even in the context you've got, there are very few requirements for it. But I think the time one is the big one, particularly as Truro looks to move more to a kind of oversight ministry. Where there's more work to do and less time to have actually using some of these tools to support you, but in a way that's ethical and transparent and all those things. I think that's the stuff that needs to be discussed, really.
Yeah, and I guess another area is where it's an area that's moving so fast, and for some people it might be something that actually, you know, it's a struggle to keep up with. They feel a bit out of their depth. How do people kind of keep pace with the changing developments that are happening so frequently and so quickly?
Yeah, I mean, there's a plethora of material out there, but education is definitely a key one. And it may be that the diocese creates a kind of ethics committee around AI, which is something we've encouraged in other organisations, and they're the ones that have their finger on the pulse, really, and they would circulate information through the company, but in our case, the diocese, that just help around it, and things like regular updates, guidelines for use of technology in the church, to encourage ongoing conversation, I think is key, and some kind of monitoring. You know, what technologies are being used. So does the diocese look at different technologies that are out there, approve them in a particular way to be used in a particular way that they feel is in line with the guidance that they produce? And because the challenge is AI technology has been around for a while. It's here, it's evolving. It's a good tool to use, but it comes with risks.
Yeah, And those risks need to be really clearly understood, but not,
Yeah.
I guess, held in such fear that we then don't engage with anything.
No, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're already using it. AI, I mean, if you use a sat nav in a car, you're using a degree of AI technology. Your mobile phones are filled with AI technology, and you're just using this stuff day in, day out without realizing. I think it's just understanding the place of AI. You know, the challenging question: will AI replace God? Well, of course it won't. But that's the risk, the fear. It's this kind of Skynet, isn't it? It's the Terminator kind of view of AI, which is where generally some people are at. But actually, there are some really practical things AI can do to support you in your day-to-day ministry, whatever that might be.
Yeah, and I suppose thinking back to COVID, when we suddenly everyone was launched into Zoom, something that lots of people hadn't been aware of before, churches started taking services online, which was something that, had we been told that 2 years before, we would never have realised how quickly that was possible, and how much that change could take place in such a short amount of time. And
Yeah.
actually, it's led to a lot of growth in conversations with people that perhaps engage with online church but maybe don't come in person. I guess there's a question I want to ask around how we sort of keep ahead of the curve to a certain extent, so that we're not always way behind doing things, and we manage to kind of keep pace with this progress, but also recognise that we're charities, that we're not a private sector organisation that's got lots of funding and support to put into this level of work.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose, I mean, things like we're recording this on Zoom, and even Zoom, you know, Autopilot within Zoom, for example, will transcribe this conversation. So there are tools that I think we'll see added to our tools we use today. So obvious ones are Google have got Bard, which is their AI tool. Bing have got their products, Copilot. So those three embedded tools, we're going to start to see, you know, we'll almost be forced to use them. And that's really where, in my day job, that's the challenges that IT directors are having from a security point of view. They go, look, these tools are out there. They're being embedded, they're forced upon us as an organization. The results it's producing have been driven by AI. We've got very little control over that. So how do you utilize that? So I think there are advantages from there in those kind of things from a cost point of view, certainly. How we stay ahead of it, I don't think we can stay ahead of it. I think it needs to be contextual for the place we're in. I think there needs to be guidance around what we would consider to be good tools to use and good ways of engaging that there's a general agreement upon. And there needs to be clear governance around where it's an absolute no-no, and it should not be used in any circumstance in these examples. You know, for example, writing a verbatim sermon is a complete no-no. You know, because it risks so much from a point of view of trust and ethics and all those very complex conversations come into play, and you kind of feel it's going to happen unless something is done at a church house level to put some guidance in place around how these tools should be used. That, for me as a governance expert, that's the risk. These tools are out there being forced on us. We're using them and not really thinking about the implications. And there's no guidance, no governance for us.
Yeah. So bearing in mind, you think leaders should be developing kind of frameworks and governance and checklists for us to use. How do you think they would do that while staying true to religious principles? Do you think that's a challenge, or is that quite straightforward?
I think it's a challenge for any industry to put governance around it, because I know we're famous in Cornwall or Devon. It's in Cornwall where they do the cheese rolling down the hill, and it's a bit like that. You know, the cheese will start to roll down the hill, and as it gains momentum, the challenge is how you keep up with it, but also how you stay ahead of it to some extent. And I think it's going to be a really difficult thing to do, but we've got to do something. We can't ignore it. And again, organisations I've worked with, this is the kind of thing they've done. They said, look, we need to start somewhere. There needs to be some formal governance put in place to help us understand how these tools are being used, how they should be used or not used. And then it's a case of regular ongoing conversations around around how they can and can't be used as that evolves going forwards. And that's why these kind of AI governance teams we've seen spring up in organizations have been really helpful, because they become a bit of a steering committee, and they're made up of different people in the organization that have different roles and responsibilities, and they help shape the use or not use of these kinds of technologies.
Okay. And I think that's really important for us as a church, isn't it? About meeting people where they are and being contextual, so that we don't live in a different time to everybody else, but actually we engage with these topics and we apply those religious principles and thinking to that.
There are loads of applications. I mean, one I've been looking at this week is a church that we've done some work with. They're using AI to help with translation, because what they recognise is their community is very much bilingual, and they found it a really good way of engaging with a community in a way that just breaks down additional barriers, because actually they can come and engage with the service and understand what's being said because it's translated into a language they understand. So they're the kinds of things we're starting to see. So I think it'll be one of those things that it'll be driven by the creativity of those that are responsible for putting together programs and things they're doing within their particular environments.
Okay. And are you aware of any kind of churches that are beginning to think about those frameworks, or dioceses, or a part of the Church of England thinking about those frameworks and governance structures, or even in other voluntary and community sector organisations?
The only one I'm aware of at the moment is, and I probably can't say who it is, but it's a large, well known charity, and they're developing. And I know it's because I'm doing some work with them. So we're developing work with them to help them triage inquiries and calls, and almost as a first response. So that begs the question, does that kind of model fit within a church? Probably not, depending on the questions being asked, but it certainly wouldn't be a good idea to create a kind of virtual spiritual guide, if we want to call it that. But the potential for doing that is absolutely there. But it's whether that would be right and proper to do it, and they're the challenging questions, because someone is going to do it. It's just understanding of how relevant they are within our context.
Yeah, and I guess for things like I don't know, inquiries about weddings or something like that, you can see that would be a good way of touching base with people, helping to answer those questions. But at the same time, sometimes it's that personal touch that people don't get from other organisations that the church can really flourish and thrive.
Absolutely.
In.
Yeah, I think, I mean, at the end of the day, we're about people, aren't we? And, you'll never replace that, as good as AI is. That's definitely a strength we have. But it's just how we might use some of these other technologies, which, ironically, what it'll do is it'll free up time to do some of the people stuff that we just don't get time to do right now. In some examples, and any priest or anyone that's been involved in leadership through Easter, Christmas will know that you spend all your time writing and preparing and planning stuff, and everything else kind of goes by the wayside for a bit. And it's understanding, well, how can some of these tools help do some of that work? Could that include answering, using AI to answer some emails that are just routine in your inbox, but they do need actioning? Could it do some of those mundane tasks?
And I'm sure that many parishes or many parishioners, whenever I'm working on transitions, one of the things they're always keen to look for in a priest is that pastoral care. And I'm sure that if there's things that free up their time in terms of admin to provide more pastoral care, that's only going to be a positive.
Yeah, and I think your suggestion earlier about, like a checklist, if you answer yes to one of these questions, then don't use it. It's probably one of those things that could be developed. But what my kind of thinking is that when we come together in May, that there'll be a better understanding of where we feel, and we'll see it in the room. I mean, for those that come along and get involved in the discussion, there'll be those that are dead against it, and may never change their mind, and they'll come along, and that's fine. And there'll be others that perhaps will use it for everything, and equally that's not fine. And it's understanding, okay, where's that middle ground, and where could that then take us going forwards in terms of things we can do or not do? You know, what are those absolute no-nos, and what are those things actually that's not a bad idea that needs explored? Because actually what that does is it frees up lots of time.
And so do you have a kind of vision for how you see AI working within religious leadership within the Church of England? Is that
Do I
something
have
you've
a
thought
vision?
about? Yeah.
Well, I suppose the vision would be is that we're using AI in such a way that, you know, we're using it to complement whatever role we're in. So for me, in my role, it should never be used for anything other than supporting what I'm doing, what God's doing through me. So I used an example earlier about PowerPoint slides. Creating images for PowerPoints can be quite time consuming. And yet, if I can tell AI that I need 9 images, and this is the theme of those images, and it can do it in 2 minutes, why wouldn't I use it? Mm-hmm. Because they're not taking anything away from what I'm saying. They're just supporting what I'm saying, because I've enabled AI with a script that I've created to put together a number of images that I can drop into a slide deck. And I have done that. You know, that's the kind of thing where I've actually, and I've used them for Facebook posts and stuff like that, where there's a message going out that I've written, but I want an image that particularly spoke, or the word spoke into, or the image reflected what was written. And AI is very good at creating those kinds of images. So there's one example where I think you can, you know, the two worlds can mix, but they don't collide.
Yeah, but essentially it needs a lot more thought, doesn't it, about
Absolutely.
How we develop that framework, and it's something
Yeah.
that probably should be a huge priority at the moment.
Yeah, I think, yeah, because inevitably these tools are to some extent being forced upon us. And it's under, you know, we're using them, and it's just understanding if we're using tools like that, then what are the risks?
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. So we've mentioned, or you've mentioned a couple of times about this session in May. So for those of you that are interested in finding out more about the subject and having a bit of space with colleagues to discuss it, we do have a CMD session in person booked for the 15th of May, 2024 in Truro. Mark, did you want to give a brief synopsis of what you see happening in that session, what you're hoping to explore, to approach, to discuss?
Yeah, I mean, arguably it's more of this. The original thought behind it was it'd be really good to get a group of people into a room from, you know, from right across the spectrum of church in Truro Diocese to just look at the whole issue of AI and the ethics of AI. You know, they're kind of almost the clickbait, don't they? The kind of antagonistic quote or statement is, will AI replace God? You know, of course it won't, but it's an antagonistic tagline that just says, okay, let's get around a table and talk about AI, because AI is here. There are advantages to AI from our perspective. What do others think? Are others using it? How can we use it? So it's to get that discussion going. So it's a kind of workshop environment to really think about it. And I'll come with a slide deck that will just give us an aid memoir, really. So I'll use it as a kind of an assist, an aid to what we're going to discuss. So my hope is at the end of it, we'll have a kind of a whiteboard of stuff where we've got a list of, you know, some good idea stuff that needs further exploration and some complete no-nos for now, with a view of perhaps taking that to the diocese and saying, okay, look, we need to stop putting some guidelines together. And here's a good start, good framework. And I know that there are other voices that will add into this going down the road that have already been highlighted. So I think there'll be other people that will have other viewpoints on it, maybe from a more technical point of view. But I didn't want to do that. I want to keep it very much layman. This is not about technology per se, although I'm happy to demo that. So I'm going to do some demos on the day. So if you've never seen it demo or seen it working, come along for that. And you'll just see the power of it. And then the question becomes, okay, what's the ethics of it?
Okay, so the session is very much open to people that perhaps feel that they don't have much knowledge of it at all.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're an expert in AI, it's probably not for you. But if you've a role in the church, and you'd like to understand could, and it may be that AI is something you'd like to use, not just in your church context, but in other contexts as well. But yeah, if you don't know much about it, come along and I'll give you a very good layman's understanding of it. But the core of the session for me is about let's talk about it. Let's talk about the elephant in the room, where it could be used. Now, is it okay to use it to write prayers, sermons, to put rotas together? Where are those kind of lines, really?
Brilliant. And I think we've also already seen on the Facebook page a few questions that people have and a few sort of thoughts around how they've tried to use it in the past and whether that's gone well or not. And I think hopefully we've covered a lot of the questions that people shared with me in advance of that. But obviously you can talk about that much more in the session that you have. So, well, thank you very much for joining us today. I've certainly learned a lot more about it, and I'm thinking about how I might use it in grant applications that I'm supporting people with, whether that's a good thing, making sure that I use the correct boundaries for it, of course. But thank you for giving up your time to share that with us. And we really hope the session in May goes very well and we can build on that from following on.
Yeah, well, thank you for the invitation. It's one of those things that just needs to be talked about. It's just kicking this off now and just having those initial conversations, and we can see where it goes from there, really.
If you've enjoyed this episode and you'd like to listen to more, please do follow and share. Thank you for listening.